have been, in the church, we have this season called Lent, and it's the 40 days leading up to Easter. And for the last 40 days or so, we have been going through this time, and we've been looking at different altar stories in the Bible. And our final altar story this morning comes from 1 Chronicles. And it's a story of David, and David building an altar to God. And David, if you don't know, David was king. He was king of the Israelites around 1000 BC. So yeah, he was a real person. He actually lived. So that let's say that was about 3,000 years ago, right? Right, 1000 BC, about 3,000 years ago. And David was king in Jerusalem, and his father had not been king. He was the first in his line to be king, and God had given him a lot of success. He'd gone to battle, and he had had success against different enemies, and he was solidifying his reign. God was solidifying David's reign. And David, you know, I don't know if he just had a little extra time on his hands or what happened, but he decided that it would be a good idea to count his men, to count his soldiers, to count his army, and to see how many people he actually had fighting. Does that seem like a logical thing to do? You know, if you're a king and you're going to war, and you got to see how many troops I have, how many soldiers I had. And so he called his commander, Joab, to him, and he said, I want you to go throughout the land, and I want you to count all of the fighting men. And we're in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And so Joab was not happy. He did not agree with David's decision to count the men. He felt like this was not something that God would want David to do. But he went and he carried out the king's orders. And so he counted all the men and came back to Jerusalem and reported to David that there were 100 million. Did I say that right? Yes. 100. Sorry. Yes. 100 million, 100,000 fighting men. Just a minute. Yeah, that's right. And then there were more in Judah. And right after he gave the report, David just had this sinking feeling. And he knew that he had sinned. Have you ever done something and then after you did it, you just kind of had this sinking feeling and you knew that you had done wrong? Has that ever happened to anybody? Like where something has just snuck up on you and you've done something and then you're like, oh, I wasn't supposed to do that. You know, I just sinned. I just blew it. And David realized that he had sinned. And he said this. He said, I have sinned greatly by doing this. Now I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing. And God, through one of his prophets, Gad, sent Gad to David and said this. It says, go and tell David, this is what the Lord says. I am giving you three options. Choose one of them for me to carry out against you. It's kind of like, you know, you have those three doors and you don't know what's behind the doors. Choose one. Only God kind of told David what was behind the doors. He said, you know what? You can choose one of these three options. You can choose the door number one. If you choose door number one, there will be 3 years of famine as a repercussion for your sin. If you choose door number two, there will be 3 months of the enemy coming in and just ravaging the country, ravaging your people, ravaging your kingdom. Or if you choose door number three, there will be 3 days, he says, of plague in the land with the angel of the Lord ravaging every part of Israel. David considers the three doors, and it doesn't take him long. He says to Gad, he says, I am in deep distress. You ever felt like you were in deep distress? You know what that feels like? It's just all tied up, just in deep distress, deep sorrow. He says, let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great. But do not let me fall into human hands. You know what? I'm looking at these three doors, these three options, these three sentences. And I know which one I want because I know who God is. And I know that his mercy is great. And so I am going to choose door number three. I'm going to choose the 3 days of plague because God is merciful. I know this about God. I know that God is merciful. And so I am going to choose door number three. Well, God sent the angel, and there was a plague, and it ravaged the people. It tells us that 70,000 men of Israel fell dead. Think about COVID and the plague of COVID, and here's a plague. And in less than 3 days, 70,000 men fall dead because of the sword of the angel of God. And it says, and God sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem. But as the angel was doing so, the Lord saw it, and listen to this part, and relented concerning the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying the people, enough, withdraw your hand. The angel of the Lord was then standing at the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. And it tells us that David looked up. And I don't know how he could see this. I can't imagine what it must have looked like, what it must have been like. But it says that he looked up, and there between heaven and earth, there at the threshing floor of Araunah, you know, the threshing floor, ancient threshing floors were these places where they'd stamp down the dirt. Maybe they'd put stone and they'd toss the wheat and things up into the air, and the kernel, what was heavy, would fall back down on the ground, or maybe they would have something that they drag over the wheat or over the oats to get the kernel out, to force it out. And so it's this place up high on a hill. And it says that he looked up and he saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth with a drawn sword in his hand extended over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, they were in sorrow, just placing themselves before God, fell face down. And David says to God, was it not I who ordered the fighting men to be counted? I, the shepherd, I, the leader, have sinned and done wrong. These are but sheep. What have they done? Lord my God, let your hand fall on me and my family, but do not let this plague remain on your people. Well, God heard him, and God sent Gad, the prophet, to David and said, tell David to go to the threshing floor of Araunah up on this high place and build an altar to me and sacrifice a burnt offering to me. So David makes his way up to the threshing floor of Araunah, and Araunah sees him coming, sees the king coming. And Araunah's four sons are there, and they see the king coming. They also see the angel, and the four sons have hidden themselves from the angel. I mean, this is a fearsome sight. Can you imagine? And Araunah bows down before the king, bows down before David. And David says to him, let me have the sight of your threshing floor. Hello? There we go. Okay. All right. So Arana, David comes to him and he says, you know, sell me your threshing floor. I'd like to buy it. I want to build an altar here. And Arana says, you know what? I will give it to you. I'll give you my threshing floor. I'll give you the oxen, you know, that I'm using to thresh out the grain. I'll give you the wooden sledge that they're dragging over the grain to get the kernels out. I'll give you everything you need to build an altar and everything you need to sacrifice. I'll just give it to you. And David says, no, I insist on paying the full price. I will not take for the Lord what is yours or sacrifice a burnt offering that costs me nothing. David says, you know what? I have sinned and I need to make restitution. And I'm not going to take what's yours and give it to God. What I do, it has to cost me something. And so David goes ahead and he pays Arana, the Jebusite, gold, a large amount of gold for the threshing floor and for the oxen and for the sledge. And he builds an altar and offers a burnt offering to God. And God hears him and God answers with fire. God lights the fire. God hears him and he responds with fire. Well, and the plague is stopped. But you know what? About 1,000 years later, another king climbs that same hill to the threshing floor of Arana. And this king is a different sort of king. This king, unlike David, followed God faithfully. And this king, in a few days from the time that he climbs the threshing floor to Arana, will hang on a cross. And with his last strength and his last energy, he says, into your hands, Lord, I commit my spirit. He knows something about God and God's character, just like David does. David knows that God is merciful, and he's better off to put himself in God's hands than in the hands of people or to gamble with nature. And this king places himself in full obedience to God, into God's hands. And he is obedient to God, even to death. Death on a cross. This king pays the ultimate price. He pays a costly price. He doesn't pay with gold. He pays with his blood. He pays with his life. And this king knows what God is like because this king is God himself. This king is Jesus. God come to earth in human form, in the form of the man, Jesus. 100% God and 100% man. And this man, this king, shows us what God is like. He shows us that God is merciful. And God is so merciful and so dependable and so trustworthy and so strong that he lays down his life for his enemies. He allows his life to be taken from him in obedience to the Father as the ultimate sacrifice. Sacrifice not for his sin. He hasn't done wrong. as a sacrifice for our sin. For all those times when we have failed to trust God. What's the source of sin ultimately? Satan. I mean, Satan enticed David, didn't he, to go and count. I didn't tell you that part, but at the beginning of that passage in 1 Chronicles, it tells us that Satan enticed David to go count the men. Yeah, I mean, Satan is a source of sin, for sure. Selfishness. Human nature. Yeah, all of those things. Disobedience to God. But what if it's even more basic than that? What if it's those times when God invites us to trust him and we don't? God invites us to not get ourselves all up in a knot. Staying up late thinking about whether or not we have enough men to fight the battle. So David has the men counted. Instead of remembering that God is the one who fights, that God is the one who wins the battle. That it's God's strength, not his strength. That his success as a king is not because of what he does, but it's because of who God is. So as we go into this Holy Week, this week leading up to Easter, God invites us to trust him. God invites us to place ourselves in his hands, just as Jesus placed himself in the Father's hands in full obedience and trust. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And when we find ourselves in those places where we've sinned, to throw ourselves into the mercy of God, to throw ourselves into the hands of God, because God is merciful. God is trustworthy, and we can trust his character. When we can't trust ourselves and we can't trust other people, we can trust God. And we can trust his mercy and his character. He is strong and he is loving.